Australian Bible Church, a Presbyterian church, stressing the faithfulness of Christ and our need to be faithful to Him. Stressing indeed Christ, the incarnate Word of God from eternity, and the Bible, the words of His lips. The commands of His Spirit. The assurances of His truth. This morning, the gospel of grace is not a commission to rewrite the Bible. Some people seem to imagine that it is. That because we emphasize the love, the pity, the grace, the provisions, the actions, the power, the sacrifice of Christ, that therefore everything is a sort of vague whimper. It is turned into a sort of social ecstasy of communal power. It is the exact opposite. Therefore, I repeat the title. The gospel of grace is not a commission to rewrite the Bible. Subtitle, separation of the people of God, of the Word of God, of its commands, from contrary cultures, from invasive ministries. We start looking at the biblical background and basis. There are ever so many verses we could look at. Let us choose some. Romans 16:17 on the topic of separation is exceedingly clear. Now I urge you, brethren, note or mark those who cause divisions and offences, contrary to the doctrine you have received, the apostolic doctrine. Note them. Make a note. Oh yes, the so-and-so is. Oh boy, he's teaching something wildly different. Church after church I've been in doing that and dealt with and left. Note them, mark them, be aware of them. Don't just let them pass by and imagine that it doesn't matter. It matters enormously. Why? Because after you've noted them, those who are teaching offenses contrary to the doctrine you have received. There are two words. Avoid them. Does that mean call them as pastors? No. Does it mean elect them as elders? No. Does it mean put them on the board of management? No. Does it mean allow them to teach the young so that their doctrines are transmitted? Well, I think we've got the point. The answer is in the negative. Avoid them. For such who are such, for those who are such, do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, that is to say, their instincts, the flesh, what they want. And by smooth words, oh, so ingratiating, by smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple. So don't be a simpleton, is the advice. Avoid them. Then we come to John 14, verse 15. These are various aspects of the matter. If you love me, see, here's this word love. Great word, great thing. horrible if aborted into mere appearance, however. If you love me, well, how do you know? Keep my commandments. And I'll pray the Father that he'll give you another helper. Helper of what? Well, keeping the commandments. Keeping the commandments is keeping the very words of God, as we'll see in a little while, word for word. Oh yes, you've got to get the spirit and essence of the thing, but you've also got to keep the form and the formula of the thing, so you have it all together. These are not contrary, these are complementary. If you love me, keep my commands. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. What about the people who don't have the commandments or don't keep them? Well, it's as if he says, I just said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he will love me and be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself in him. Then we come to John 14:20. Oh, we've just... At that day you will know I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He has my commandments and keeps them. It is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will manifest, make known, show myself. Some people say, why don't I have more experience? Walk with the Lord, and you will experience his company. Isaiah 34:16. Here is a prophecy concerning the doom of a nation which had become a blatant enemy of Israel. Amongst its judgments, the famous site of it has this said of it, verse 13, chapter 34, Isaiah, and thorns shall come up in your palaces, its palaces. That's quite a carpet. Nettles and brambles in its fortresses. It shall be a habitation of jackals. It goes on at some length. Search from the book of the Lord. Yes, there's a book. There's a book of the Lord. It's manifested itself by being absolutely unique. There is no book which has maintained its statements and justified its claims and made its commission and its convictions clear, with vindication, verification, and illustration over and over and over and over. And in this book by Dr. Jensen, Darwin replaced, is just another example. Darwin tilted his godless nonsense, everything from nothing, to which he drifted over the years in his resentment, it appears. He wrote, and the world listened. It wanted to hear. Now he's dismissed. Ridiculous. Everything from nothing. There's nothing to it and nothing in it. But this universe has a lot in it and needed a source. Search from the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall fail. It has been saying, talking about birds and snakes and whatnot, and each one will have its mate. The things that he has specified will be there in multiplication order. Here's one, there's his mate. Here's another, there's his mate. Everyone will be there, says this statement. Not one shall lack a mate for my mouth. What has the mouth of the Lord done? It has commanded it. How does that relate to history? What it says happens, H-A-P-P-E-N-S. It's not a happenstance. It's a happen fulfillment. Not one, for my mouth has commanded, and his spirit has gathered them. Not only did the mouth speak, the executives gathered them, brought them to pass, brought the objects referred to into existence, into place, into fulfillment. Let us revise that. My mouth has commanded, and my spirit has gathered them. We then go on to Matthew 5:17. The vital verification of the Word of God in every detail. Well, I mean, if God speaks, what do you expect? In Matthew 5:17, don't think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy them, but to fulfill. Christ said that part of his mission is to look at the things such as we just read from the prophets and to make them happen. A lot of them centered in himself, but not all. For surely I tell you, to heaven and earth pass away. Yes, what will happen to his word? Will it pass away too? No. One jot, the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, or tittle, the smallest differences between two similar letters, will by no means, not pass away, by no means pass away till all is fulfilled. Whosoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. The word of God is the expression of his heart. He expects it to be taken to heart. Second John. And to heart, therefore, in separation from all similar words that just don't have the truth. Second John. Verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, all right, doctrine is teaching. Teaching is in words. Is its basis. Does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you, knock, 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 telephone call, and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house. Like a void. And look at this, nor greet him. You can't say Godspeed, goodbye. Goodbye to God is not a goodbye to abide by. And then let's look at Isaiah 8:20, this fabulously impacted verse. Discussing various transgressions, spiritual mutations, and verbal displacements that have been wrought against him. 8:20. 20. To the law. When you are surrounded by the babbling voices of philosophy and uncertainty and new ideas. Answer. To the law. To the testimony. Go where God's word was sent. If they do not speak according to this word. And how many thousands of ministers didn't over the last 150 years. If they do not speak according to this word. There's a reason. It is because there is no light in them. If you want a light, if you want to be led, if you want loving company, well, here is where not to go. If they don't speak according to this word, to the law and the testimony, if they don't speak according to this word, zero light. Photons, spiritual photons, missing. And John 17:8. We may return to this verse. It is a magnificent verse. I have given to them, says Christ to his disciples and of his disciples, for I have given to them the words which you have given me. I will refer to this. I want to lodge this in your minds. I have given to them the words. It's going to be something about the word words, which we will look at in a moment, Lord willing, which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely, notice the words and the facts are all put together in one bundle, they have received the words and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. A combination of verbal testimony and of actuality, which is even more fascinating. And then again, when we come back from Matthew 4:4, to which we turn, in Matthew 4:4, Satan says, look, you're hungry, you've been fasting for all this time, why don't you turn these white stones into bread, or something like that? That would have been very convenient. No Kentucky Fried Chicken, no McDonald's, none of the pizza places. No, they're not there out in the wilderness. Well, with you, it doesn't matter. To modernize the point into the current parallels. Why not? No, says Christ, I'm not going to, in effect, indulge myself by miraculous easing of my lot as the word of God made man. Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall not worship the Lord, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall he serve. Four of Matthew is a particular locus here. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. You have a body. It has a mouth. It has a stomach. It has intestines. It has nourishment needs, vitamin needs, lots of things. But that's not what you live for. That's what you live with. That's an accompanying circumstance. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by notice this, I'll spell this out. EVERY. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of the God and of God, and that's not all. The word word in the Greek can be logos and it can be rhemata in the plural here, logoi. Rhemata is a particular grammatical unit. The word logos could be a theme, an idea, a presentation. It has a very wide meaning, broad. But this is not that word. This is rhemata, and the word is every grammatical unit that comes from the word of God. Now we return to John 17:8 to see what was so fascinating about that. It's this. If ever there was a place where you'd expect that God might have said, I have given to them the words, the logoi, the ideas, the principles, I have given them, he didn't do it. He did exactly what he did in Matthew 4:4. The word is rhemata, grammatical units. I have given to them the grammatical units which you have given me. It reminds me, I think one of the Americans, presidents, yes, one of the recent American presidents said during an election speech that he was not going to raise taxes, I think it was. And he says, watch my lips. You can see every word dripping from it. He means it, watch my lips. Well, he didn't fulfill it, apparently. But Christ did. This is a watch my lips challenge to us. I have given to them the words which came from your mind precisely as words from lips. They have received the words, word by word, transmission. Morse code could do it. Christ was it. And he received the words. Better keep them. They're not for playthings. They're not to show some sort of spiritual verbosity. They are what are the thoughts of God's mind. And they are turned into the words, as it were, of his lips. If you want to transgress, violate his thoughts, revile his accuracies, depart from his authority, contest with him the truth, that's how you do it. Don't follow his word. The truth, indeed. Some people come along and say, well, I am a relativist. Oh, I really? Oh, yes. With all the religions, you know, there's no truth. There isn't any truth. They're just the pitter-patter of philosophy. Oh, really? Well, if there's no truth, it can't be true that there's no truth. That can't be a true statement because there's no truth available for any true statement according to this approach. All right. So if you say there is no truth, you contradict yourself in saying so. That's what's called antinomy. It's not just contradicting yourself. It's contradicting yourself at the very heart of logic. There is no truth. Therefore, that can't be true. Therefore, you're already forbidden to make the statement. You are making a false claim. You're involved in what's called antinomianism, and this is an antinomy. You can't even say it in order to display it. You're stricken by your own strictures. And so the relativist goes and the absolutist comes back. There is truth. It must be found, and it's found where it is verified in its claims that God has not and forgotten the universe he created, but the universe he created is nearer to having forgotten him, and he is not impressed. He has made a magnificent thing. The beauty, the glory, the majesty, the multiplicity, the brilliance, the cherishing, the provisions. He's made this marvelous, marvelous thing. You inspect it, somebody did it. You read it, somebody made those predictions. So it's all clear. What's the problem? Unbelief. How different is this unbelief from what Christ had to say? Turn to Psalm 40. one of the Messianic Psalms, such as 22, 55, 72, 69, 110 and so on. This one, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. That is the great thing. He hears the cry and in his own way brings it to pass, sometimes within seconds, minutes or months or whatever. But he hears. You can, when you see it happening like the grand, I always remember on a ship coming out from England, the great big machinery going away all the time, all the time. You don't have to count the revolutions. They just continue and the ship surges forward. So are the revolutions of God's answer to prayer. They surge forward in their own way. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit. That's very easy to find. There are plenty of snakes on the earth, and they can be in pits. Out of the miry clay, sticks to your feet, your feet stick to it, gets into your shoes, out of it, and set my feet upon a rock. There is no other rock, says Psalm 62, but he. And established my steps, he put a new song to my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and doesn't respect the proud. Don't respect the proud, people who come with power, privilege, philosophy, wealth, all together say, do this, follow me, I know the way. Don't respect the proud. If they know the way and show the case, verify it, fine. But don't respect them. I must admit, I feel little respect for the enemies of God as they assail the churches of God. Avoid them is the sort of respect that they need from Christians. This is the man who makes the Lord his trust and doesn't respect the proud and such as turn aside to lies. Many, O my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak them, they are more than can be numbered. Now listen to this exhibit of the zest and zeal which should go with the word of God as you look upon it and seek to abide in it and in him whose it is. The articulation of his thoughts, the articulation, should be the reticulation of the net with which you cover the case and draw up what you must do. Sacrifice an offering you did not desire. What? No, because he's going to be it. And he loves it. That's the point I want to make. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you didn't require. So he says, I'm going to be it. Here's the prediction. Verse 7. Then I said, behold, I come. The reason that the burnt offerings are not required, as you come into the New Testament here, predicted, I come. I displace it. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. Notice the emphasis on the scroll, on the emphasis on the book. Now here's the verse I want. I delight, not I'm willing to do your will, not I respect your will enough to seek to carry it out as far as is humanly possible. I delight, rampant rejoicing, deliciousness. I delight to do your will. It is a privilege. It is a joy. The apostles even counted it a privilege to be whipped because he glorified God in that circumstance when they attested the truth. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Direct contradictions. We looked at one earlier, 1 Corinthians 5:9. Just look now. I told you not to keep company with sexual and immoral people. But the point was, when they claim to be brothers. If they claim to be brothers and carrying on in notable, notorious, or clear-cut sinfulness, they, when that combination occurs, they're the ones to avoid. I didn't mean avoid all of them. You had to go out of the world to avoid them. But you don't have to go out of the world to avoid people who call themselves Christians and do these extravaganzas of evil, follow wrong principles, immoral ways. Not permitted. You are to avoid these. You want to do differently, of course, you're just breaking a commandment. The same as in Romans 16:17, the same as in 2 John, the same as in all the implications of such ones as Isaiah 34:16. But look at 2 Peter, where he is indicating to you some basic principles. On the way, let's glance at Psalm 11:3. On the way, Psalm 11:3. This is, of course, a fundamental reality. If the foundations are destroyed, he'd been referring to trusting in God. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Get rid of the foundations, there's no house, there's nothing to stand on. Except mud. And then we proceed then to 2 Peter 2 as we were going. And this is a fascinating thing. Peter makes a prediction about all the things that we're seeing now. False ministries, false churches. Not all are false, of course not. Church can't be destroyed, but there are many that are wrong. There is a spiritual virus destroying churches in masses. But as there were false prophets amongst the people, yes, we've heard a lot about false prophets in the Old Testament. So, there's a parallel. There will be false teachers amongst you, counterpart of false prophets in the Old Testament, who will secretly, oh yes, I remember the theological student who said, of course we can't tell the people that yet, meaning that they had not the faith of the fathers, they had not the faith of the church, they knew that they didn't have it, and they weren't planning to present it because they had been spiritually seduced and subjected to a sort of spiritual torture. If you want to succeed, brother, you'd better believe this unbelief. Believe in our unbelief. That was what I faced, and that's what the churches have faced so often. Even denying the Lord who bought them. Ostensibly, they've been bought. Actually, they're not, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they want to get your cash. They will, that's one of the major draws in all the things that that represents. Similar. They will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle. Like a black cloud, wait for the rain. Their destruction does not slumber. Not good to call as pastors to elect as elders, I would think. They'd be too busy being judged. Verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to preserve the unjust unto punishment to the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. They will receive, verse 13, the wages of unrighteousness. Verse 15, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, that notorious false prophet who corrupted the nation so much. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. These are wells without water. Strong words. If they have escaped, verse 20, the completions of the world to the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, there's been some enlightenment. They've rejoiced for a season. They're again entangled with them and overcome. The latter end. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. They had some acquaintance, rejoiced for a season. But it's happened to them. And so we have the danger. Scoffers will come, 3:3. In the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued. Do they really? Do they really? Ask the virus company and consorts of today. Are things really continuing as normal? For this they willingly forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water. That was a mode of its creation, which the world that then was flooded. But the day of the Lord, verse 10, will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? And Peter speaks of the fact that unless you act, everything will be corroded and corrupted. And that is exactly sure. You can't have your pet virus, which you keep for a plaything, in the church, let alone in the pulpit, which has been a very much desired resort. We return to this marvelous fact. Christ in his intimate, glorious prayers and pronouncements in John 17. We revert, we emphasize. 6-8, I'll finish by reading this. I have manifested your name. Good. The name means the character, the nature. To the men with whom you have given me. All that was arranged too. Out of this world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Notice the word. Now they have known that all things that you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words, remember, rhemata, not ideas, no, words. Watch my lips. Which you have given me. And they have received them. Received what? The words given to him. They didn't just receive a sort of defaced Christ. They received Christ who could speak. And who could speak words given to him by his Father. I've given to them the words which you've given me, and they received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I don't pray for the world. Amen. Our Father, we praise thee for the marvelous distinctiveness of thy doctrine, of thy teaching, of thy dealings, of the commandments of thy love, thou hast not left us confused, bewildered. Thou hast left us with your words, your works, and your wonders. God forbid we should glory except in the cross of Christ, by which the world is crucified to me, and I to this world. Amen.